Appreciate it.
I'm back to Luke 24, back to Luke chapter number 24 this morning. I was just debating on whether or not to continue on or pick back up. I guess I'll be all right as long as I stay behind the pulpit, won't I? I'm talking with the sound man back here. I'm all right. I think I can, I don't know though. I may wind up running out the door, amen. You say, what for? Excitement. What are you, charismatic? No, I'm not charismatic, but I sure am excited about Jesus, amen. And Brother Mitchell testified a while ago, man, it's just wonderful to know that I've been studying a lot on just the hell lately. Preachers used to preach on hell all the time. And, I started out that way, and I still preach on hell a lot, and but I don't preach on as often as I ought to. But I've just been looking over some different things, and I'm so thankful I'm not going to hell, amen. I'm glad I get to go to heaven. I'm glad I've got a life worth living while I'm here on this earth. And what a blessing it is to try to serve Him and point others to Him. And so thank the Lord for that. We have something to testify about. Luke chapter 24 this morning, and we'll just go right back to verse 44. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 44. And just in case you weren't here during Sunday school, the basic background of Luke 24, Jesus has been crucified, buried, and 3 days have passed. He's risen again, and now He begins to appear unto His disciples and the apostles after His resurrection, and He begins to make many appearances. I think there's about a dozen recorded appearances after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, post-resurrection appearances, and two of them is recorded here in Luke chapter 24, the post-resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ, or His appearances after His resurrection. And Luke does skip a lot of things that we have light on from other writers, and because if the Bible records 12 appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ, Luke mentions two here, but Luke has Him ascending back to heaven at the end of Luke chapter 24, and so a lot of other things took place that Luke wrote about many of these things later in the book of Acts. But Luke chapter 24, verse number 44, the Bible said, "And He said unto them," that is Jesus, "and He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Now back in verse 27, we looked at these verses in Sunday school, but we feel like it'd be right to just continue on. But back in verse 27, the Bible said, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself." Lord, add Your blessings to the reading of Your word. Speak to our hearts right now. Help us to get a better understanding of the word of God, and do help us to understand our Savior better, that we might love Him more. Thank You for loving us and saving us. We ask You to help those that are gathered here today in the house of the Lord. Help us to be a help to them. We'll praise You for what You do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. And this is two of the five different occasions that the New Testament shows us that the Old Testament is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible is about Jesus Christ. And the Old Testament's about Him. It points forward to His coming. And then the Gospels are about Him. They tell what He did while He was here. And then from Acts to the Revelation, the 27 books of the New Testament, they tell us He's coming again. And if you're one of His, here's how you ought to live, what you ought to do, and what you ought not to do until He does come. But the Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is on every page. And I heard one preacher say, if I quoted his name, a lot of you know, one preacher said, if you can read a page in the Bible and you don't see Jesus, He'll be on the next page twice. Amen. But that is true. You need to reread it. If you don't see Him on every page, reread it. But look for Jesus while you're reading the Bible. It will help you in your understanding. And we begin to teach on that during Sunday school. And this morning It's going to just be a continuation of that, but probably with just a little more excitement. I don't know how far along. You say, how many points do you have this morning? Well, let's don't worry about that. How about one point, amen? That is that the Bible's about Jesus. That's my point that I'd like to try to drive home to you. If I told you how many points was in my outline, you'd croak and probably get up and leave on me and all that. But anyway, so I'll just not talk about that. My main point is this Bible is about Jesus. It's to help us to get to know Him. It's to tell us who He is and what He did and what He can do and what He will do. Amen. I don't remember if I preached that here one time. I think I got something like that wrote down in my Bible. I might have preached it here one time, but I keep a couple of little outlines in my Bible. But I remember preaching several times on the God that Paul declared. There in Acts 17, the Bible said that Paul said to those people in Athens, he talked about the God that created the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord. But he said, Him declare I unto you. And Paul began to make a declaration of God to those people of Athens who were totally absorbed in idolatry and religion. And some of them, the Bible said, sought to just to see if they could hear some new thing told. And some of them seemed to seek to see if there was some new idol they could build or some new altar they could worship at or some other God that they didn't know about. The Bible said that it called Him the unknown God. As a matter of fact, the people at Athens, I'm going to get a little sidetracked, but I'll be right on subject here. Remember, I'm talking to you about Jesus, how this Bible's about Jesus. But over in Acts 17, Paul said, the Bible said that Paul's heart was stirred in him when he began to go through Athens and saw the city wholly given to idolatry. And I'm paraphrasing, but you can read it in Acts 17. But as he went down through there and saw all their gods and all their idols and all their statues and all their religion, he said, I came to an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. And here is the history behind that. The people of Athens believed if they could please all of the gods, good things would happen to them in life. And they believed if they displeased any of the gods, that bad things would happen to them in life. And so they tried to put up an altar and a shrine and a dedication and some form of something to worship every god that they heard about. Man, that sounds familiar, don't it? They tried to worship every god they heard about, made some up. You say, is that the same Athens, Greece, where all the Greek mythology came from? Same people, same place. People today put more stock and belief in Greek mythology and the gods that are told about there than they do in the living Word of God that tells us about the only God that matters. But Paul saw this sign that said, to the unknown God. And these people of Athens felt like if they displeased any of the gods, bad things were going to happen to them. And they didn't want to displease any of the gods. They didn't want bad things to happen to them. And so somebody came along and said to them, what if there's a God you don't know about? What if there's one you've left out? What if you upset Him or offend Him? They said, we don't want to do that, so we'll make another altar and we'll put an inscription above it, and it'll say, to the unknown God, in case there's any of them that we don't know about. And I tell you, there was a God that they did not know about. And that's when the Bible said, Paul said, I want to declare this unknown God to you, the one that you don't know about. You know, very little is known about God today in this world that we live in. Is there not? And He needs to be declared. But as you go through the God that Paul declared, I'm going to just flip over there right quickly. I do have that little outline of my Bible. I wasn't planning on preaching it today, but it goes right along with this. But this God that Paul declared, he began by saying, Him declare I unto you. And he kind of summed it all up by saying, He is Lord of both heaven and earth. And he gives a lot of description in between of that. And so I got this in front of me and got it on my mind now. I may not be able to get away from it. So I'm talking about this Bible is about Jesus, amen. That's the God that Paul declared. And now I don't want to try to confuse anybody, but I can't even begin to understand nor explain the Trinity, but we have one God that we worship. He's manifest in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Bible said in the book of Colossians that in Him all the fullness, in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Don't ask me to explain this because I can't, and I don't want to hair-lip anybody or sidetrack anybody, but you say, how's that going to be when we get to heaven? Well, I believe when we get to heaven, we're just going to see one body there. And in that one body will be God. And I believe that's what Paul was talking about. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I remember the black preacher preaching one time about what God is like and what He looks like and what He's going to look like and on down through there. But he went through a lot of different descriptions, and he said the bottom line of it all is, if you want to know what God looks like and if you want to see God, he said, just take a good look at Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. That's right. And so if I use the word God and Jesus interchangeably, I'm talking about one and the same. Amen. You say, well, can you give any explanation of that? Yes, I can. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That and the verses I just quoted to you, that's the description I can give, that in Him dwelleth all the fullness. Did you happen to find that by chance? I saw you looking over there. It might be in Colossians 1:21. You may not be able to find it because that may be way far off, but somewhere over there in Colossians it talks about that in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And I get numbers, chapters, and verses mixed up a lot of time, and more so as more time goes on, I get them jumbled up more than ever. But I'll tell you this, you read those four chapters in Colossians, you can do that in under 20 minutes, I know so, and you'll find what I'm talking about, that in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so maybe when you get that verse, did you find it already? When you get it, just flag me down on it. I want to make sure and give them the right reference. But in the meantime, I want to talk about Jesus. I want to talk about this unknown God that Paul declared to the people in Athens. And I want to remind you here this morning that we do live under the authority of God. He is on the throne. He is in control. And all the things that happen, He is not surprised about them. He knows about them. He knows who's sitting on the throne as the king of this country. He knows who the president of that country is. He knows all about the things that are going on. A lot of it don't really matter to Him in one sense, and what I mean by that, man. Amen. He has got a plan laid out of how things are going to be. What'd you find out right there, Mr. Renee? 2:9. Go ahead and stand up right there and read that for us. Colossians 2:9. Read that for us. See if you can get it good and loud. Yeah, like that. Do it like you're yelling at me at the house. I'm just kidding. Amen. Talking about Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:9. Thank you. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And there's a lot of other scriptures we could look at that would help these to be a little more understandable to you when you begin to compare the scriptures with the scriptures. But I want to think about this unknown God, this Jesus that Paul declared to these people of Athens. By the way, before I get excited and forget about it, to my knowledge, the sermon by James Crumpton entitled Jesus is in the public domain. In other words, it is not copyrighted. And I happened to be sitting there this morning, and I was just wondering if there was a printed version of it. I've got the little booklet somewhere. It's about 55 pages. And Something in my mind was making me think I had it somewhere or get it somewhere. And so I just looked up James Crumpton this morning, and lo and behold, a preacher that's with the Lord now had emailed me a copy a few years ago, and it's sitting in an email folder. And when I looked up, you say, what are you sharing that with us for? If you would like to read that sermon, I will happily send it to you via email. If you would like to have that, just share your email with me or my wife after church. I will forward that on to you. And I just might read a couple of excerpts out of that, because as I was looking over, I couldn't hardly resist. I thought, man, I told Renee, it's 52 pages in this little book. I said, I could preach 52 sermons out of here. But you can't do Jesus justice. You can't talk about Him enough. You can't glorify Him enough. We sang about Him this morning. We prayed to Him this morning. We gave our thanks to Him this morning. I'm telling you, but you just can't do enough for His sake, can you? And so let's think about this God that Paul declared to the people of Athens. You know, there are four things that stand out to me that I'd like to pass on to you this morning. And now I've gave it away. I had 39 points. Now I got four, amen. You say, what happened? Well, I kind of got on this track right here, but you say, well, why don't you give us that 39-point sermon? It says the same thing that this four-point sermon says, all righty. And so the 39 points I was going to show you in each of the 39 books of the Old Testament how they pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. We may or may not say something about that. But one thing, as Paul told these people of Athens about this unknown God, he said, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, the Bible helps us to know who this unknown God is that Paul declared to the Athens. The Bible tells us, number one, let me say, the Bible's very clear on who this unknown God is. And I mentioned to you, we live under the authority of God, and we find in the Bible that the heavens are His throne and the earth is His footstool. We find in the Bible that He spoke something out of nothing. He put all this that's here into existence. We also find that He keeps it running the way it ought to be run. He keeps it running smoothly. By Him all things consist. And we do live under the authority of God. Some people do not acknowledge the authority of God. And I'm sitting here trying to preach to you while I'm trying to find Isaiah. He used to be there in my Bible. There he is. I found him. Anyway, I'm going to look at a couple of things that Isaiah said that goes right along what I'm talking about, what Paul talked about. But a lot of people do not acknowledge the authority of God, or that we live under the authority of God. Jesus said in John 15:3, and He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, except ye abide in me, ye abide alone. John 15:5, I believe it was, He said, without me ye can do nothing. Amen. Without me, you can do nothing. He is in control. He is sitting on the throne this morning. He is the King and He is the Lord. And everyone will acknowledge that sooner or later. And thank God there's a few that have chosen to acknowledge that now. I'm glad right now He is the Lord of my life. I'm glad He is the King in my life. Amen. And I try to live my life by that, and I fail and I come short and all that, but I continue to try, amen, to live my life to please Him. He is the Lord and He is the King. But the Bible declares to us who this unknown God is. And I'm going to read you a few verses here, and I'll probably move quickly through these, but that's my first point. This unknown God, the Bible tells us who He is. Over in the book of Isaiah chapter 45 and verses 5 and 6, this is what God said about Himself. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else. And so also in a little bit further on in verses 21 and 22 of Isaiah 45, He reemphasizes. He said, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. He says similar statements over in Isaiah chapter 46 and verses 5 through 9. Listen to what he says here, Isaiah 46, 5. To whom will ye liken me? And make me equal and compare me that we may be like. And I just remind you, the God of this Bible cannot be compared with any other God or gods. He's in a class all by himself. If I mention to you preachers that have impacted this world or maybe ones that impacted your life, certain names would come to your mind. There are some preachers, whether you like them or not, agree with them or not. Some of them wasn't even, you know, our kind, but there are many preachers God has used to impact and make a difference in this world. And if I said preachers that have impacted this world, many names would come to your mind. If I said, especially in this day and time, if I said baseball, certain names would start coming to your mind. People that's left their mark in baseball. If I said college football, if I said professional football, if I said basketball, if I said somebody, if I said musicians, composers, names would come to your mind, and you'd begin to talk about, I think about Mozart and Beethoven, all them, the impact that they made, and some choose one over the. If I said artists or painters, Leonardo da Vinci might come to your mind, or something like that, or some other famous painter might come to your mind. And there's many that would come to your mind. But let me say this, God of this Bible's in a class all by himself. He's not like anybody else. He's nowhere near anybody else. He's in a class all by himself. And that's what he's trying to say to you here. To whom will ye liken me? Ain't nobody like him, are there? And so to make me equal and compare me that we may be like. They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him on the shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place. And he standeth from his place. Shall he not remove? And so what he's trying to say, people try to make gods out of silver and gold. They melt them down. They mold them. And yet that God that they make out of silver and gold, though it may have, in one sense, monetary value, it cannot be compared to the God of this Bible. That he's trying to tell us here that there is no one like God. I got to stay behind the pulpit. I might have to grab hold of that thing. I don't know. But he's saying they make these gods and they put them in this place. And there they are. There they're stuck. Those gods that they make out of silver and gold and wood and precious stones and whatever, they have legs and feet, but they don't go nowhere. They have arms and hands, but they do not do any saving. They do not do any reaching out. They have eyes in their sockets, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they do not answer the prayers of those who pray unto them. The God of this Bible does, don't he? Amen. Amen. And so, in other words, he's telling us if one of these gods that man has formed to try to compare with the God of this Bible, if man has formed a god out of one of these earthly materials, if that God is to be taken from one place to the other, then he has to be carried from one place to the other. And I think about, I heard a black preacher one time preaching about, and I'm not making fun, I'm just telling you, but he was preaching about Buddhists. He was thanking God that he was a child of God and a Christian who had heard and believed the gospel. And he said, I'm glad I'm not a Buddhist. I'm glad I'm a Christian. He said, just think. He said, if I was a Buddhist and I needed Buddha and I needed to talk to him or pray to him, he said, If I needed to get in personal contact with Buddha, he said one of two things would have to happen. He said at great expense, I would have to pack up and travel to where God Buddha is at. Or I would have to send a message and summons the priesthood of Buddha, who would have to, at great expense, put Buddha on a cart and transport him to where I'm at so that I could have personal contact and personal time with Buddha. And he went through and explained all that. I could pray to him, but he wouldn't hear me. I could talk to him. I could lay my petition before him, but he couldn't help me. He said every once in a while, he said that statue of little God Buddha, weather wears on him and time and elements wears on him. And maybe one of his eyeballs falls out, precious jewel. And he said that they have to call in a repairman and work and fix God Buddha. And said once in a while he gets tarnished or the elements of weather and time, they work on him so much so that they have to call a sculptor in or a goldsmith in to come in there and repair, oh God Buddha. He said, I'm glad I'm not a Buddhist this morning, amen. I'm glad, friend, I can go right now this morning as a child of God. The same privilege every child of God has. I can go directly into the presence of God. Though I can't see his ears, I'm told that his ears are open to the cries of his children. Though I cannot physically see his eyes, the Bible tells me the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Though I can't maybe reach out and shake his hand like I might, could you? The Bible tells me the Lord's arm is not shortened that it cannot say, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Amen. He hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. He takes care of our needs. And anytime, for no charge, we can go right into the presence of God. Hebrews 4:14 through 16, because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the blood that he shed, because of Calvary, because of the message of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, we can boldly come before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I remember one time we had a pastor, and he was a wise pastor, and he had been made wise through his studies of the Word of God and through the years of dealing with people. He spent all of his life pastoring. He's 91, or he'd be 91 years old this year and still pastoring. I don't know how many years he pastored. Him and his wife was married, I believe, for 63 years, and she went to be with the Lord back in 2015, I think it was. But he's still carrying on the work of God. Very wise man. I wish that I could just sit down and let him pour his wisdom into me. But he said, people comes to me and says, Pastor, preacher, can you please pray for me and pray about this situation? And he said, I'm glad to do that. We're supposed to pray with one another. We're supposed to pray one for another. But he said, did you know you can pray for yourself? He said, you got the same access to the same throne of grace through the same means that I have. God don't hear and answer our prayers because of us and our prayers. God hears and answers prayer because of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. That's why God hears and answers prayers. Amen. And so don't get discouraged if God answers one of your prayers and then you're praying five that he hasn't answered yet. And you say, why ain't you answered these other five? Why did you answer that one? I'll tell you why. You prayed that one in accordance with the Word of God and in the will of God. You prayed for the same thing that Jesus would have been praying for if he had been asking himself. That's how you get your prayers answered. Find out what God's will is. Find out what Jesus would ask for if he was the one doing the praying. I think Adrian Rogers put it like this. The prayer that is answered is the prayer that starts in heaven. Well, Miss Renee, the Lord got me in rare form this morning. I feel like a novice preacher, amen, not wanting to spend the Bible college and Bible class. I'm having a good time, and I'm just going to roll on with it, amen. Woo, glory to God. Back to Jesus, back to this God. I'm reading from Isaiah. And so Isaiah 46 and verse number 7, they bear him upon the shoulder, they carry him and set him in his place, and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer nor save him out of his trouble. We're talking about the gods that they've made from silver and gold. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former thing of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand. And I will do all my pleasure. And on it goes down through there. The Bible declares who God is. Amen. Let me look at a couple of other scriptures. The psalmist talked about a lot of the things. Let me read them in your hearing this morning. The psalmist talked about a lot of the things that I kind of just talked to you about of the gods of this world. And it's in Psalm 115. Now you'll have to bear with me for just a moment. I didn't know we was going this route, so I didn't have any of these scriptures marked. So that's why it taken me a little bit of time to turn over there to them, but I feel like they are important and that we ought to read them in your hearing. Psalm 115 is going to be much like what we just read from the prophet Isaiah. In Psalm 115, the Bible says these words right here. It says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say... You ever heard anybody from the world say something like this? Where is now their God? But our God is in heaven. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. I should have just went over and read this to you instead of dramatizing it for you. Here it is. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. And he says to Israel, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And he goes on down through there and expounds on that. But you just can't compare our God to anybody, not the God of this Bible. There just ain't anybody like him. And over, I was always, humanly speaking, I was always amazed about Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, chapter number 2 and verse 47, when they cast Daniel into the den of lions, and he couldn't sleep all night. The king couldn't. As far as I know, Daniel slept all night. To my knowledge, there's no indication he didn't. Amen. But let me not go there. You say, was that in there? Well, let me just move on. I know one thing. The king did not sleep all night. He was troubled, and he tossed, and he turned. He was worried about Daniel. They had tricked the king into doing things that caused Daniel to be thrown into the den of lions, all because he prayed to the God, I'm declaring to you, the unknown God Daniel prayed to him. Amen. Just like he always did, whether there was a law against it or whether there was no law against it, Daniel spent at least 3 times a day talking to the God that matters, the only God. Daniel talked to him. He got cast in a den of lions for it. The king couldn't sleep all night over Daniel in that lion's den. And the king went running and made haste to that den of lions that next morning. And he said, Daniel, is thy God whom thou servest able to deliver thee from the mouth of the lion? Daniel said, O king, live forever. The king said this. The king said in Daniel 2:47, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets. I believe it's 3 chapters later in Daniel chapter 6. You remember what happened there. King Nebuchadnezzar made a huge, gigantic image that he wanted everyone to bow down to. And he said, we're going to play all kinds of music. When we play this music, I want you to bow down to this image that I have set up. And if you refuse to bow down to this image that I've set up, you'll be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And so the music played, the statue was built, the music played, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow down. And some religious Baptist, I guess, or somebody exactly like them, ran around there and said, hey, there's three over there that ain't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And so the king had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego brought before, and he gave them another chance and said, is it true that you didn't bow down when you heard the music? And they told him that they were children of God and that God was their king and that they were not going to bow down to the image. Let me tell you that I think I got my Daniel 2s and or 3s and 6s a little bit mixed up, but I know I quoted you right from Daniel chapter 7. That's another small book. I believe it's 12 or 13 chapters in the book of Daniel, but you can find them all in there. You can find all of these ones that I'm preaching to you about there in the book of Daniel. But anyway, it's in chapter, no, I think I'm on the right. In chapter 3 it is, where Nebuchadnezzar made the image and had the music played and wanted everyone to bow down to the image that he had built. And I know you know these things, but amen, you can get up and tell us about them next time, or tell us about some other incident or person that you read about in this Bible. I got called on to preach today, so I'm just trying to fulfill the obligation. Amen. But anyway, let's see. I'm in Daniel chapter number 3, and I'm going to read you some of this. And I know you know, but you need to hear it again. And so let's see here. I'm in Daniel 3:16, Daniel 3:15. Now, if ye be ready at that time that you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I've set up. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If so be, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, why did they take such a stand like that? Because they knew the God that Paul declared. Because they know the God that we're talking about, that this Bible declares. And if you know him, there just ain't nobody else to bow down to. There ain't nobody else to pray to. There ain't nobody else to trust in and depend upon. Amen. And I'm going to just shorten this up and pick it back up in the next service. Amen. Because time is getting away from me. But let me read here. And so verse 19, I'm in Daniel 3:19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You know, I want to stop right here, and I don't think I might have done this here before, but please don't hold this against me, but it always comes to my mind. Back in 1980-something or another, I believe it was, there was a little Church of God man in Cleveland, Tennessee. I don't know him personally, but he wrote a song about what I'm reading to you about. And I think the Spears sang it and somebody else sang it, but I think I'm going to sing it for you this morning. Please don't listen to how I sing it. I probably ain't doing it right. You say you're going to sing us a Church of God man song? You sang them all the time out of that church hymnal, amen, that came out of Pathway Press, the Church of God headquartered in Cleveland, Tennessee, is where they came from. Just cause they're of a different stripe don't mean that they cannot be saved, don't mean they cannot be godly, don't mean that God cannot use them. You sang some songs this morning wrote by Methodists and non-denominational people. That's right. God can use anybody that He wants to use in the manner that He wants to use them.
Amen.
But please, if this offends you, talk to the Lord about me or talk to me about it, all right? But this is what He said in His song. My mama read a story from the Bible long ago about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how the wicked king commanded they be thrown into the flame because they would not bow and then deny their father's name. Mama said the king stood high upon the balcony so tall. When he looked in, he was shocked by all the things he saw. He thought that he would find them lying dead upon the ground, but instead of three, he counted four at walking all around. Then I said, Mama, wait a minute. There's one thing that I must know. If three went in and three came out, then where'd that fourth man go? And I never will forget it. Mama danced across the floor. These are the words I heard her say while shouting through the door. She said, he's still in the fire and he's walking in the flame, and he'll be there to help you when you call upon his name. He can still deliver by his almighty power. While here below, it's good to know he's still in the fire. Now, my friends, you may be destined to face life's hottest flame, but I'm glad that I can tell you through the power of his name, not one flame of fire will touch you. You'll come through it and you'll tell yesterday, today, forever, God is still alive and well. I'll tell you one thing. You show me where that song's not scriptural, and I'll quit singing it.
Amen.
Amen. But he's still in the fire, and he's walking in the flame, and he'll be there to help you when you call upon his name. He can still deliver by his almighty power. While here below, it's good to know he's still in the fire. You say, well, why did God put that in his Bible about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Well, there's a lot of reasons, and that's another message all by itself, amen. I'm just trying to illustrate to you, they believed in the same God that Paul declared, and if you don't have that God as your God, then you do not have a God at all, because he's the only God, the only one that matters, and there's just nobody like him this morning, amen. And you say, well, what's his name? Well, he said to Moses, tell him that I am sent you. But the Old Testament calls him Lord with all capital letters. The New Testament calls him Jesus. He's the one I'm talking to you about this morning. I want you to hear from the Bible what happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then Nebuchadnezzar, verse 24, Daniel 3:24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake unto his counselors. Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. What? A heathen, unbelieving king? He ain't never seen Jesus before. Oh, well, God showed him something there, and he prophesied something right there, didn't he? He said, that fourth man in that fire, the one we didn't throw in there, that looks like Jesus! Amen. He'll be with you in your fire, too. You probably heard Brother Sammy Allen. I heard him quote many times. I'm still chewing on that, trying to understand it. But he would bring up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he'd say, reckon which would have been the greatest experience for God to have delivered them from the burning fiery furnace, because he was in it. You say, I don't get it. Chew on it. Amen. Which would have been greater, to be delivered from the burning fiery furnace because he was in it? Amen. And so that's something that you ought to think about right there, isn't it? And so the king declared that forth is like unto the Son of God. And he was made a believer because he went on, the Bible went on to say this. And then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, oh, I guess I was supposed to say right there they smelt better than the average Baptist deacon, wasn't I? But anyway, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. This Bible's about Jesus. Amen. Paul declared Jesus. We have a message to take to this world. And it is that Jesus left heaven, took on a body of flesh, Amen. Lived a sinless life, lived a perfect life, gave that life on purpose, shed his blood, and suffered to buy our redemption, to purchase our redemption, so that we can be saved and have a life worth living on this earth and go to heaven in eternity instead of hell. Amen. That Jesus, he was crucified, he was buried, he arose again after 3 days, he ascended back to heaven, he's right now seated at the right hand of God, very, very busy. He ain't just sitting up there doing nothing. The Bible said he ever liveth making intercession for them. Amen. What? I thought that was what the Holy Ghost was doing. Well, that's what Romans 8 says. And so that means we got one down here that's making intercession for us on behalf of up there. But then we got one up there too that's making intercession on us. In other words, we don't know what to pray for. We don't know how to pray for what we need. We don't know what kind of words to put it in. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost takes that prayer right to our intercessor up there, and thank God it's all in order when it gets to God. God answers our prayers because of himself, because of the God in us and the God up there. That's why God hears and answers prayers. And this Bible tells us all about him. And he was crucified, buried, he rose again, and it goes on to say that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let me close this morning with this right here. It sums up the entire gospel message. These 25 words tells you what I've been trying to tell you this morning. Amen. For God so loved the world, that's you and that's me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He went on to say, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the... Now I'm past the 25. The 25 was in verse 16. These are other ones besides the 25. All right, just to make sure I didn't confuse you on that. The precious 25 words of John 3:16. But he went on to say, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You say, but Brother Ricky, we're all saved in here this morning. Then get excited. Realize how real the God of this Bible wants to be in your heart and life. And go tell somebody else. You say, I don't think I could talk. I mean, I wouldn't know what to say to them. I mean, I don't have any verses of Scripture memorized. Now, tell them what the Lord done for you. Amen. That's what the woman in John 4 did when she met Jesus Christ. She went back and said, come see a man that told me all about myself. Tell them about how you was lost and how the Lord revealed himself to you, how that he saved you. and caused you to live the life that you're living. And God, help us all to strive to live a life that pleases Him so that He'll be honored and glorified through it. Lord, I have been so very scattered this morning, but I want to thank You for speaking in my own heart from Your Word. I pray You'd help me always to see Jesus when I open the pages of this Bible. Help me, Lord, to communicate Him in a way that others will be able to see Him and sense Him. We ask You to speak to hearts today. If there's any here not saved, please reveal Yourself to them and open their eyes to see their lost condition. Help them to call upon You before it's too late. Lord, I pray for Your children that's here this morning. Many of them have things that they're going through in their life, or some family members going through something. They need a touch from You. They need help from You. They need wisdom and direction from You. We ask You to help them to realize that through the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did to save us is also the basis on which He hears and answers our prayers. And so we pray to give them the grace and strength to come to You, talk to You about what's bothering them. You said casting all Your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We ask You to help those that need You to do just that this morning. And do help us all that are Your children to take this message to someone else so that they can have a life of peace that passeth all understanding, of joy unspeakable and full of glory, and of a love that is, Paul said, the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. Lord, I wish everybody could get in on what we believers are in on. Help us to take the message to them. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.